And you might want to turn in your Bible to the book of 1 Timothy. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy love letter, so here we are. And thank you very much, Spirit of God, for thy word and thy work. And we'll look to you in Christ's name even now. Amen. In our study of 1 John chapter 3. Now, but going back and putting that in focus, maybe, God and his wonderful creation and his wonderful redemptive work to buy back, to pay, to recover that which was lost because of Adam's sin. And to do all that was planned out before the foundation of the world, before anything was created. A God did this in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So he died for everyone born in Adam. That's what he did in a most awesome way. So, and therefore we have in 1 Timothy chapter 1, to sum that up easily, what he did. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came to save to the uttermost all that are created, that he created in Adam. So, having said that, chapter 2. And in chapter 2, adding to that, going directly, if I can, to verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So there's no question that everyone that's going to be a human, Christ died for them to save them in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's what they are. So everyone that's born physically is to be able to be born spiritually. Now, having said that, now that's going to be amplified many times. So we read, if you don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist will say, pointing out to the Lord, pointing to him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That's what he takes away the sin of the world. Now, and to keep that in focus, so when Christ died on the cross, he paid the penalty for all the sin of mankind to make possible a life, a unique spiritual life related to God, the Creator and the Redeemer. Now, and having said that, keeping that in mind, so when Adam and Eve sinned, they knew the promise, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, Christ would die on the cross. And they believed. They were guilty, they were naked, and they knew that, and therefore they needed to be covered. And so therefore God went, and when they believed, and understand God would send the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam, to die on the cross for their sin. And they believed. And they believed to show that they believed. God believed Christ would die on the cross. So therefore God slew an animal, skinned them, and they went and clothed themselves. Genesis 3:20-21. They clothed themselves, they covered themselves with the coats of skin. They covered themselves. Now, and the word, and they covered themselves. That's what they did. They clothed themselves. Now, so then we come, there's a word, atonement, in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, atonement, not the same as the new, means cover, to cover. Adam and Eve, how did they handle their sin? They took the covering. Underneath is the same old Adam, the same old Eve, in their old nature. But in God now, they didn't have that till they sinned. Now they do. So God covered them. So when God looked, when they looked at each other, they would see the coat of skin. They were believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, who would die on the cross in a most wonderful way. Now, the word cover is used when Adam, when Noah built his ark, Genesis 6, and he pitched it on the outside. Here's this big battleship kind of thing. And he pitched it all on the outside, covered it for, so it didn't leak. And he pitched it on the inside. The word pitch is the word cover, to cover, to cover, to cover. God did that in a wonderful way. When Christ died on the cross, the covering is all good. The covering is all good. But it needs to be more than covering. So, the covering covered them like checks. Here's a check. In other words, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, like Adam and Eve or Abel. And he believed. And God gave him, as it were, in their heart and mind, the check. You can't cash it yet. Christ has to die on the cross. The bank isn't ready yet to pay. But you believe, and you've got a valid check to cash. When Christ died on the cross, he paid. The check is cashable. The check becomes a valid check. When Christ died on the cross, what did you say, John the Baptist? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Not covering it. He didn't cover it. He didn't cover it. He took it away. He took it away. Now, and with that in mind, so therefore, and God has done a wonderful thing to take it all away. That's what he does. So therefore, in the light of that, if I can, over to chapter 1 John and in chapter 3. And in 1 John chapter 3, now make the connection. Christ took it away. So when we come as we did in chapter 1 John 2, and that Christ died, and the believer was to understand they ought to have fellowship, chapter 1 verse 3, to have a wonderful joy, chapter 1 verse 4, they were to enjoy a unique relationship to God in a very wonderful, wonderful way. And they had to do that in the light of Christ dying on the cross and taking away all their sin. So therefore they're able to go and enjoy God's wonderful grace. The system around them, the flesh, all of us, all people have the old nature, we all have our old nature. And so therefore, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, and you got an old nature, and everyone else does, people that aren't saved don't have a relationship to God. So everyone that's around us, all humans that we live with on planet Earth, have the same old dead nature. That's what they have. So we're used to that in its fullness. And so when someone has something different, a new nature, different, then we mark them as different. You know, all the ducks look the same, and here comes a duck that's a freak duck, you know. Or think of the lobsters if you want to, lobsters. And then you got a blue lobster. Now what do you do with a blue lobster? Wow. What are you going to do with that? That's an odd nut. In a bunch of red lobsters, here's the blue lobster. So pay attention. The red lobsters are all concerned about the blue lobster. Us humans. So when they get saved, something happens. And the system, old nature, the devil, the world system, it's all against light, darkness. Darkness hates light. So it's all against it. So therefore, they were Gnostics and antinomianism and all this stuff. People were saying there's no law, you don't have to really follow the law as we did. You're spiritually saved, but you're still here physically. So you live in the body, you have all the appetites of us humans, therefore exercise them. You don't have to really clean your life up, change. That's heaven, and you are on earth. And we tell them all kinds of things. So what? Excusing us from what? That's the issue. To keep you from ever enjoying what? He taketh away the sin of the world. Watch it. Now, so chapter 3. And the Spirit of God tells us that being saved, we are now the children of God, and God is loving us. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And what are we doing? We're looking to be like him. The believer is to be understanding. They took away their sin, and we're looking, children of God, chapter 3, verse 2, and we're to be what? I'll read it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we're looking for his coming. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the little child, as believers, are growing, and we become a new creature, and we're growing up to be like him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, we're humans. We already got physical growing up. We got earthly growing up. We got our human nature growing up. But that God said, no, you got something way better than that. You have a relationship to God, and you want to exercise it so that you can handle your earthly relationship better, and you can be a testimony to God's saving grace in the process. So we got the old nature, and we got that. Now in the process, we had these dead woods. Do you know it sits here every week, the last couple of weeks? It's still dead. It stays dead. It never gets alive. And next year, it'll still be here dead. Do you understand? It isn't going anywhere. It has to be attached. Once it's attached to the tree, it has eternal life. It has leafy life. It has tree life. And it enjoys the tree life. It never is missing tree life. Any hour of the day, any hour of the year, any minute of the day, of a day, it always enjoys tree life. It is never dead. As long as it abides, it's never dead. Never. 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 He taketh away the sin of the world. Never is it dead. Now, this is good, but for my illustration, I'm going to change it from this to this. Okay? This fellow isn't alive. You understand? This is like Ezekiel 37, a valley of very dry, very dead bones. So, here we are. And so, this to this. So, and we got this. Here we are, dead. What do we need? What do we need? God's going to talk to you. What do I need? What do I need? I need life. So therefore, I need, when I receive life, here I am now. So I went from this, dead, to this. Now, all the skeletons of the world look at this and say, what is this? What is this? This is to say, this is what God has done. A wonderful thing. He's made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things are what? Passed away. All things have become what? What do you think all things have become new means? Dead. Reckon yourself dead. This is what God wants you to understand. When Christ died on the cross, that's what he did. And he made this possible. He didn't make this back and forth. He doesn't want you to, the world wants you to do that. If it is, if you aren't going to believe, at least be dead. If you're not going to be trying to be, if you're going to be saved, then don't be saved. Be like this so you can live among us comfortably. That's what I want. So when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, God makes us wonderfully, wonderfully different in a wonderful, wonderful way all at once. And that's what God is looking for. God wants you. And God, we don't understand. We say, I'm saved, but I live like this. I live carnal. That's called carnal, fleshly life. And most believers live just like this. That's how they live. And they don't understand the imperativeness that Christ said, I'm done with this. Plain done. Done. You talk to each other. You give me a verse and I'll give you a verse and we'll have a scripture. Ready? I'll read the scripture and you'll read the scripture. And we did it. Amen. See? We don't have to do this. No, sir. Our churches, all us believers, I should say, put us all in the same bucket. We don't understand this. We don't understand God. Do it that so you can't miss this. God, the creator, who's infinite in his being, is in the presence of the, we're in his presence, and he's made his home in your heart if you're saved. And I tell you, that's awesome. And the average, not the average, hard to find believers that really, really have grasped that God has saved you, and he in your heart makes you a new creature. Truly real. And the world hates it. And the world does everything, the devil and everything, to keep you from it. Because it's real. He died to make it possible. So don't debate it. Don't argue it. Understand it. And exercise it. Oh, no, I got to go to theology school and figure it out. No. That's what he did. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Taketh away. Lift it off. I lift it off and put it aside. Take away. Lift up and take off. Watch it. You're right in front. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Picking up, if I may, chapter 3, verse 4, go through them. Whosoever committeth sin, present tense, is sinning, a way of life. The dead tree, the dead branch stays dead, transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin, the lawlessness, sin is lawlessness. And thus, lawlessness is sin. What's sin? It's the absence of the law. What's the law? The rightness of God. God has said everything must be right. Everything. When he went to the cross, he did it rightly. He saves you rightly. He's able to save you rightly forever. That's what he does. It's right, not wrong. It follows the law. The law says everything has to be right, spotless. Now, so we go to verse 5. And you know that he was manifest, made clear, public, plain, And then you have the three little words, to take away your sin. Not to cover it, to take it away, to move it, so you don't play with it. That's why you're going to what? Reckon it dead. Dead. Don't talk about it. Dead. Dead. That's what you do. Don't count on it. It doesn't mean you don't have an old nature. You have an old nature, and you do use it. All the time we do. But we aren't trusting it. We're trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have to eat. We have to do everything. Work, home, school, play. Everything. We have to do all that. But the difference is that I do it in my relationship to God. So what changed? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever I'm doing, I used to eat just like I eat. But now I eat with thanksgiving. Whatever you eat and drink or do, do it in all to the glory of God. I changed. My whole life's changed. I include God. Why do you go to work? I love my boss. He underpays me, but I love him. No, you go to work as unto men, unto the Lord, and you do the best you can because you want to honor the Lord. You want to do the best you can at work. You want to do it. That's what you're going to do. You do it. Your whole life's changed. Everything's changed. It isn't some stupid thing that you have to think somehow you want on earth. You are on earth. You still have to go to the bathroom. How's that? Most of you. You still have to do stuff. That's right. The difference is I know the Lord. I'm abiding. And as long as I abide, I'm not going to be a piece of dead wood. I'm not going to be that. So I'm not going to be this. So God, you tell me what? Reckon it dead. Reckon it, calculate it. But it isn't dead. No, it isn't dead. But it is dead. That's right. Look, if you would, N.O. chapter 1. And you will read chapter 1. And you remember how God answers. How am I to have fellowship with God in such a wonderful, wonderful way? I'm to do it. How so? Verse 5. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There can't be. You're abiding in Christ. And there is all there is light and life. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we're trying to say when we got the old nature, we're walking in light, but you actually we're walking in light, but you're actually walking in death. If you want abiding, you're this. I'm a Christian. I'm speaking to you now. You see. I'm speaking. I'm a Christian. I'm a bishop even. See, all of that. But it's not true. Not true. It's a lie. You're not alive. If you walk in darkness, it's this, not this. If you walk in darkness, you're the dead wood and not the tree attached to the, not the branch attached to the tree of life. So, now, so therefore, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have blood, fellowship one with another, and we're perfect, perfect. No, you still have an old nature. Now watch now. Got to do differently. Here we are. Here you are saved, but you know what? Who's your fellow companion? Your old nature is. When you get saved, it isn't this. When you get saved, it's this. God saves you. That's what he does. And you've got an old nature. Reckon it. You can't kill it. It's still here. You got to live with this dumb thing. But you've got a new nature. And therefore live with it. Enjoy it. But don't be, what? Reckon yourself dead. As you walk in the light, as he is in the light, God, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you. So all this that's in your heart running, it never goes away. God died on the cross and took away all my sin. And God said, until you leave the body, you got to carry it around. That's your old nature. So reckon it dead. Reckon it dead. You go around and you're dead. But this doesn't go away from you. You always got the dumb nature. So make sure the old nature isn't out front and the new nature isn't back. Don't do that. Make sure you have the front. Live, enjoy your life in Christ being saved. Now, and therefore walk in the light as he is in the light. And verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We deceive ourselves. Well, I really don't have sin. Yes, you do. You do. You got it in Adam. That's why Christ died. Christ died to save sinners. Christ died. Sin is lawlessness, the absence of rightness. Therefore, and you're going to say, well, verse 10, if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. God isn't telling you you're sinless. God's telling you you got an old nature still. But your relationship to God is pure, pure. Chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure, holy, holy, holy. I got an old nature, I too, but there it is. And God didn't make it go away. God didn't say I didn't have an old nature. God said, look at chapter 2, verse 1. Little children, these things I write unto you, that sin, that you sin not, that you don't sin. If you're abiding, you're not supposed to be sinning. You're supposed to be enjoying a new life in Christ. Not your skeleton life, a new life. And if you do the verse 1, that you sin not. If any man sin, you still can sin. Sure you can. You're sinning all the time. You're just not trusting it. We have an advocate with the Father, a defense attorney, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, lawlessness. Verse 2, and he is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. So we got it. We got a wonderful Savior, and we're saved. And we got an old nature, but we don't have to live with it. God says, reckon it dead. Don't say it isn't there. It is there. Don't say that. They want you to say that. The system does. Because then you aren't enjoying this. You can't say, I'm going to be like this. You're always like this. You just want to make sure you aren't in front. Stay in fellowship. Now, therefore, back over to chapter 3. So God's going to say it. 1, 2, 3, 4. He's going to drive the nail. You won't get it out. You can scrap it, but you can't change it. God said, listen, I'm trying to tell you something. Clearly, I took away your sin. I made you a new creature in Christ. Would you please lock that in? Lock it in and exercise it. Therefore, in verse 6, whosoever abideth is abiding in him. If you abide, the branch abides in the vine. Is the branch dead? Never dead. Therefore, read it. If you're going to abide in Christ, you can't sin. How are you going to sin? Christ died for your sin and took it away. You're a new creature. It doesn't say all things that come new sometime. It doesn't say that. They're new. So please come. You're new. A child of God. Child of God. Be one. Be a child of God. That's all. I said, what's so hard about it? Be a child of God. No, clean, cut, real, real. You're a child of God for real. Yeah, now. So therefore, verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. On the other hand, opposite, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, nor known him. You haven't seen or known him. You haven't done that. You never knew him. You never knew him. If you say, well, I'm sinning, what do you mean? I'm being me. I'm being dead in sin, and I exercise it. You can say this, well, I'm saved. But you say it if you want. It is not true. It is not true. He that abideth is this, but he that abideth not is this. Two things. Get it clear. So, if I can, sliding down in verse, everyone that abideth is not sinning. What aren't they doing? They aren't sinning. They aren't sinning. We didn't say we didn't sin. We got an old nature. We walk in the light as he is in the light, and I got the dumb sin all the time. But what? The blood of Jesus Christ is what? It's cleansing you. See? It's just cleansing you. Keeping you what? Free. Free. This doesn't mean you aren't sinning. You got the old nature. It's not going to go away. So you're going to abide. As you abide, walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us. Like you have your tear ducts and your tears. What are they doing? Washing your eyes, washing your eyes, washing your eyes, washing your eyes, washing your eyes. That's why you blink. Washing your eyes. That's what they're doing. Did you ever tell this thing to, did you check your washer this morning? Did you go check your washer? It just washes. That's what you do. Because that's what it is. It's made that way. You don't have to tell it. It just does it. So God, what are you saying? In verse 6, if we abide, the branch abides in the tree, then you can't sin. On the other hand, apart from the branch abiding, you're sinning. Period. That's all. Not, I'm going to sin. No, you are sinning. You're separated. Separated, and you're carnal. And your old nature is winning. Your old nature is winning. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. Ah, and you remember now, chapter 2, verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. The believers that John is writing to, the believers that John is writing to are in problems. They got a problem. And John's trying to, the Spirit of God's trying to correct it because they got a problem of caughting up with this stuff. And the Spirit of God said, you got to stop being deceived. You got to stop being tricked. You're locked into something that you can never enjoy. Your wonderful life. The dead guy doesn't care when it falls. You understand? Yeah, sorry. Get the idea. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And we shared all of that when we did chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that is doeth righteousness is born of him, is born. Well, you did that. When I came to the Lord as my Savior, his faith is counted for, Romans 4, faith is counted for righteousness. Your faith is counted for righteousness. And you got it. That's how you got righteous. That's why you're righteous. You aren't righteous because you're right. No, we're wrong. All of this is wrong. We're right because what he has done for us, he's given us his son. Who's right? Where's my righteousness? Right here. It isn't here. It's here in Christ. That's my righteousness. And therefore, when I abide, I'm abiding with what? In righteousness. It's the right thing to do, the right thing to have. God makes me right. But you've got an old nature. Yes, I do. It's lousy old nature. but God has made it right. Now, therefore, if I may, in picking up in verse 7, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, verse 7, is righteous, even as he is righteous, which he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is righteous. And when you received him, he's the right one in the right place for the right reasons. He's righteous. Verse 8, he that committeth sin, now going back, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. That's what the devil does. He sinned from the beginning. Well, we are not children of the devil. We're children of God created us. True. That's true. But, go over to Romans. Again, as you know, John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, you remember the Jews were saying, we're the father Abraham, we're literally Jews. True, but not Jews in the heart, like we do in the evening. Chapter 8. And they answered and said, 8:39 of John. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. There's no evidence that you were Abraham. Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. And you have never done that. Sliding down. And they wanted to kill him. Verse 40, sliding down, as you know, for time's sake. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Why can't you hear my word? You are of your father, the devil. How so? The devil sinneth from the beginning. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Lucifer, son of the morning, fell and became the devil and the Satan. That's how it happened. And when he fell, he stayed that way. He stayed just like he was. He sinned. He turned his back on God, as we did all these. Turned his back on God, and in the process, he has never changed. He sins. He has no righteousness. 24 hours a day, forever. Verse 44, you are now of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Remember what you just read in 1 John. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is the father and the father of it. He's the father of lying. He's the father of living in the dark. He's the father of making you unbelieving. Unbelief, you don't believe. He's the father of that unbelief. He is. And when you do it, you're part of the family of unbelievers. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. And right now, the devil's there. He's been defeated on Calvary's cross. God terminated. He set you free from this in saving you, so that you're a new creature in Christ. But, we have that old nature, and what's the devil? God's finishing it out. What is he doing, God? God's being an evidence to all the people that he created that they can be saved. In this time of grace, the God's wrath coming up, time of grace, wrath, when wrath comes, then you're going to have, but all the people, and the devil is going to go and is leading the whole pack. So the more I can have all the world, his second coming, when I come again, said the Lord, will I find the body of truth being believed? No, you won't. They're all going to be unbelieving. That doesn't mean people aren't saved. It's just the mass of people have no interest in God and his saving grace. Now, so therefore, back over. to 1 John. And in 1 John, if I may, picking up, please. 1 John, going in, everyone subduing sin. Verse 7, the little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. We just read that. 4, the purpose, the Son of God, what's the result? Purpose is good. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, made clear, that he might destroy, bring to an end, the works of the devil. So God's going to judge him. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, Revelation 20, 10, and all of that, and that devil and that, but not yet. Now, having said that, if I can, now picking up, please, in chapter 3, and picking up in verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, perfect tense, has been born, remains born, stays born. You don't get unborn. Perfect tense. You stay born. You never get unborn. You just stay born. So therefore, keep that in mind. Therefore, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You can't abide. There's no way for the branch to be attached to the tree and be dead. There's no way to tie the hose to the faucet and turn it on and say the hose is empty. The hose can't be empty. The water's in it. The sap is flowing in the tree, in the branch. That's called life. It's life. The dead branch has wonderful tree life in a most wonderful way. So therefore, in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. The perfect tense, he's born of God, and he doth not commit sin. Sin all the way through is the little word missing the mark. Think of a bow and arrow. You got a bow and arrow, and you're shooting, and you never hit the dumb target. Missing the target. Sin, always missing the target. So, in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth commit sin, does not commit sin. For reason, his seed remaineth in him. And not only does he not want to sin up above, but here in verse 9, he cannot sin. He cannot do it. See, we make a big deal about that. You can't know what I mean. You can't sin. There's no way to be abiding in Christ and sin. Do it this way. Here we are. When you receive Christ as your Savior, what happened to your sin? He took it to the cross. When you received him as your Savior, where are your sins? He died for them. He died. He brings them. All the sins are here, but he died for them all. He's finished with them. Now, here's I'm saved for 3 years. Saved. Now what happens to my sin? 10 years saved. Christ died for all my sin. The day I was born to the day I die. And therefore, Christ in me is the sinless Son of God, who is my sinless Savior. And he brings to me his righteousness to save me. And therefore, I am not sinning. No, I'm dead. I have a wonderful life in Christ. It's a new life. And that's why I don't sin. That's why I'm saved. Try it that way. I'm saved. Why are you saved? Because you're what? Your sins have been what? Forgiven. If you can't add that, then you're not saved. Right now, you're not saved. Unless your sins have been what? He took your sins. You can't have sin and be saved. You got it? You can't have sin to be saved. You have to be. Christ has to come. He's the sinless Son of God. He's your righteousness. That's why you're his seed. His seed. Over to, you know, in Genesis. You don't have to turn there. Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman. Got that part? Singular. Okay, jump ahead. Jump ahead. Over to Galatians. All kinds of ways to do it. So you see it. His seed. His wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life. Galatians chapter 3. Picking up, please, in verse 16. Now, to Abraham, Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. Christ in you. He's your life. He's the whole ball of wax, as we share in Sunday school. He's the whole ball of wax. He's everything. God gives you, there's nothing missing when you got saved. God brings you everything forever. Where is it? In his person. Therefore, over to chapter 3, verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Think of all of this stuff coming together. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. That's Christ had to go to the cross. Genesis 3:15. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Sliding down again in chapter 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given which could have given life, and there isn't any, yet given life, verily the righteousness should have been by the law. Verse 29. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You have a unique, wonderful relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, I did that fast. Theologically, big, gotta think about that. Gotta think about it. But for us simple people, we just read it. What's it say? Pretty simple. Don't make sure you understand. You got an old nature and a new one. I took away your sins. I didn't cover them. I took them away. I'm done with the dumb things. The only reason you're lost is because, John chapter 16, you don't believe in me. That's why you're lost, not because of your sin. Your sins didn't make you get lost. Because your unbelief makes you get lost. I died for you. I took your sins before you were ever born to save you. All you had to do was believe. That's all you had to do. But you didn't. Get the idea. So, in closing, over to Romans chapter 8. I hope you got a little bit. I didn't. I did it fast. The whole point. God has to help us. So, Romans in chapter 8. May I pick up chapter 8 and to catch it. Catch it if I can. Up in verse 19, chapter 7, 19. Well, we can't even do that. 7, 19, 20, 20, 24. But chapter 8, chapter 7, verse 25. Thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the law, mind, my thought process, my understanding, I myself serve the law of God. I understand God, your word. I want to honor it. But the flesh, my old nature, the law of sin. I got both of them there. They aren't going away. So therefore, God, how am I going to do it? Chapter 8, verse 2. Now the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Reckon yourself dead indeed. You're free. You're free. That's what he told you. He said, you're free. Oh, no, you know I got it. It isn't going to go away. But I'm free of it. And I don't have to do the wrong. I don't have to think wrong. I can think right. And so can you. And you have the right to do so if you're saved. And you do it. You don't have to do the wrong thing. Because you have the right to think right. And you exercise it because you're saved. And the Spirit of God will honor it. Now, and therefore, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he died, he took my sin in his own body in the tree and took it away. That the righteousness of God, righteousness of the law, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You have a wonderful relationship, exercise it. You're saved, say thank you. Thank you, I'm saved. God, I'm free. So all the dumb things in my little head and heart you want me to do or not do, I don't have to do them. I have the right to choose. And as long as I got a mind that's still functioning, I understand my freedom. I'm free. I'm free to think right. I'm free. And this doesn't have to control me. You have to control me, God. Thank you. Thank you. If you know the truth will what? Romans 8:32, and the truth will set you free. That's what you're doing. Isn't hard. It's just we don't understand the emphasis that God is trying to say, and it louses up our walk. So most believers walk very carnally in life, and they don't profit like they should. That's why the church is where it is today across the face of the earth. We're caught up in everything except this. Anyway, I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. Thank you very, very much. But so God is so simple and right. So Spirit of God, put it together. Help us understand a little bit better, a little more, and so that we don't get tied up and all tied up in knots and trying to figure everything out. When we don't have to figure everything out, we should thank you for setting us free to just being able to be free to honor you in Christ Jesus. Thank you very much. And God, thank you again, in Christ's name, amen.